here. Grab a copy of God's Word and go with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Well, it's good to see you this morning. I know many of you were back in Sunday school. How was that? Good to be back? Yeah, good, good, good. I'm glad to be back in the Word with you this morning. Thank you to our students who helped lead us in worship this morning. That was awesome. We're going to be in verses 27 through 29 in Romans chapter 3 today. And just kind of as a housekeeping note, we will have a quick church conference at the end of our service today. So we'll conclude our service, and if you're visiting with us, you're welcome to stay and hang out during our church conference. But you're also welcome to leave if you don't want to stay. It'll last for probably about 10 minutes. And we'll vote on our nominating committee report and our deacon election. Brother Todd will lead us through that. So just a heads up and a reminder as far as that goes this morning. Romans chapter 3, verses 27 through 29. We have been shown very clearly so far in Romans, in these first three chapters, that we need salvation, we need forgiveness of our sin. And we can't do anything to earn those things. We can't do anything to fix our need for salvation or to earn our salvation. We need someone to do it for us. And then in these last few verses that we looked at last week, verses 21 through 26 of chapter 3, we see the wonderful news that God and His Son Jesus has done it for us, and we are called to take hold of that salvation in Jesus simply by placing faith in Him. Now, I don't know about you, but I can be prideful every now and then. I know you guys may never struggle with that. But for the person that comes in contact with this good news about Jesus, that they can do nothing to save themselves, but Jesus Himself has done all the work and they are to trust Him completely, they may ask this question: well, what about all the stuff I was trying to do? What about my ability to help contribute to my salvation? I took great pride in what I could do. What about all that stuff? And that is the very question that Paul poses in verse 27 that we are going to wrestle with in Scripture this morning. You ready to do that? All right, let's pray, and then we're going to dive into the Scripture this morning. Father, Lord, we just thank You that there is nothing too dark, too hopeless, too far gone, too lost. There is no one too sinful that You cannot save. We thank You that You have taken us, hopeless, helpless sinners, and You have called us to Your Son, Jesus, and given us new life in Him. God, we pray for our children as they study Your Word and sing to You in Kids Rock this morning. We pray that You would just draw their hearts closer to You, Lord. We pray for our hearts as we open Your Word and hear this morning and continue to sing and worship You and hear this morning. We pray that You would draw our hearts closer to You this morning. We pray for anyone that's listening and anyone that's here with us this morning that has yet to completely trust Jesus. God, we pray that this morning You would do a work in their heart and their mind, and that they would surrender their all to You. God, we pray for those who are at home and those that are in nursing homes and in other places, hospitals this morning, that are separated from their families and their church families. God, we just pray that You would minister to them with Your Holy Spirit in a special way. You would remind them of their love for You, or You would remind them all that Jesus has done for them, and You would increase their faith in You, and You would just lift up their heads and their hearts this morning. God, we love you, and we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just guide us in the next moments we have together. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen. All right. Romans 3, verse 27. You ready? All right, let's go. Romans 3, 27. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Now we could go ahead and take this whole paragraph together, but we're going to break it apart over the next couple of weeks, because I think this question of our boasting, our confidence, our pride in verse 27 is important for us to just dive into all together and just stay there this morning. One piece of truth this morning, and then we're going to look at kind of the results of that truth in the Christian's life. So the piece of truth is this, from these three verses: the Christian's confidence, the one who has placed their faith alone in Jesus and his work, the Christian's confidence is only in Jesus and his work, and not at all in ourselves. Our confidence is only in Jesus and what he's done, not at all in ourselves and our own ability to do good and do what's right and not do bad. Let's look at this. Verse 27, Paul poses this question as if someone might ask him this after hearing that they must place faith in Jesus and his work alone. Then what becomes of our boasting? And you may think, and I do too, when I hear this word boast, I think of the grade school kid or the cocky professional athlete that just takes great pride, and its pride is public, and he rubs it in other people's faces. I am the best. And this word does have that connotation, but it has less than that also. This word carries the idea of just simply, what do we place our confidence in? By nature, we boast about what we place our confidence in. And so what becomes of our boasting when it comes to our salvation is the question. Can we boast at all about our salvation once we place faith in Jesus? What becomes of our boasting? The idea of our confidence, our pride, our trust. You think of it this way. If you have confidence in your favorite college football team, you boast about them, right? We're going to do well this season. I believe we're going to beat this team and that team. I think we're going to have this kind of record this year. My confidence is in my team, so I'm going to boast about them. My pride is in my team, so I'm going to boast about them. My trust is in my team to play football well, so I'm going to boast about them. You with me? Getting the idea? We naturally, you can think of it this way, to use a different word. So I'm an Auburn fan, and my faith is in Auburn to win. And so I boast about Auburn. Some of you are Florida fans. Some of you are Georgia fans. Some of you are Florida State fans. And your faith is in your team to win. And if it's not, then you don't boast, right? But when it is, when our faith is in our team, we do boast about our team. Now, the temptation of the people that Paul was talking to, and our temptation also, is to want to, in ourselves, to help save ourselves from our sin, to help earn God's mercy, to help earn God's grace, to help give him a reason to forgive us. Our temptation and these people's temptation was to want to be able to contribute to their salvation. So when Paul says in verses 21 through 26, no, Jesus has done it all. You place faith in him alone. They're going, wait, but what about what I can do to help Jesus? To keep the law, to do good, to be good, to not do bad, to not be bad. What about my ability to do those things? Paul says very clearly in verse 27, that confidence you have in yourself, that faith and that trust you have in yourself, your ability to boast and your ability to do good and be good is excluded when it comes to the gospel. Because Jesus has done it all. This is why in verse 28, read the verse into verse 27. It says, by what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we hold that one is justified. And that word justified means made righteous. So we are made like Jesus. How? By faith in Jesus. Apart from works of the law. That word apart is incredibly important for our understanding of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. What Paul is saying there and what scripture echoes from Genesis to Revelation is that we are saved by God alone, apart from anything that we could do. It's a little bit offensive. Put it like this. We are so sinful that, and so far gone, we have rebelled so much against God in our own heart that there's nothing we could do to reverse that. You go to someone who has a lot of confidence in themselves and you say this, you can't do it. It's a little bit offensive. But Jesus did. So let's just pause here for a second. If you're here or you're listening and you're wrestling with Christianity, you're still trying to figure out whether or not Jesus is worth placing your faith in, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, begins with you need a Savior. You need salvation, and there's nothing you can do to save yourself. Verse 28. For we hold that one is made right, justified, made righteous, like Jesus, by faith, apart from works of the law. So when we talk about the gospel, we're talking about this, our confidence being completely in Jesus and what he's done and not at all in ourselves or anything we can do. I was born in Alabama. And if you're born in Alabama, you have to make a choice real quick, Auburn or Alabama football team. And my choice was made before I was born. It was Auburn. We moved to Georgia, southwest Georgia, this part of Georgia, when I was 9. And my whole life, I've been asked this question, why don't you go for Georgia? Well, I made a choice a long time ago. Better yet, a choice was made for me a long time ago. It was Auburn. And in this part of the country, although we're like a half a day's drive from the best football teams in the world, all of them, you can only pick one. You just get one. And there's some people confused about that. This is like not really sermon material, but like you only get one football team. You can't be like, well, I like Auburn and Georgia and Alabama. And then when the one wins, you're like, yeah. I won't even say the word, but you get it. You just get to place your confidence and boast about one football team. That's it. And when they lose, you get to say things like they lost. And when they win, you get to say things like we won. But you only get that one team. And all your confidence and all your boasting is for that one team. That's it. And this is what we're talking about when we talk about Jesus apart from our ability to do good, apart from works of the law. We want so badly to say, Jesus, I trust you and your work, and I'm going to put my foot on you because I trust you and I love you, and what you did on the cross I appreciate. But I'm a pretty good person, and I want to help you out. So I'm going to keep one foot on you, Jesus, and what you've done for me, and I'm going to keep one foot, I'm going to continue to trust myself to be a good person, because deep down in my heart, I know I'm a good person. And the Bible screams at us, Genesis to Revelation, very clearly, Romans 3:27-28, you can either trust Jesus alone, your confidence can be placed in Him alone, you can boast in His work and what He's done on your behalf alone, or you can try to earn your salvation on your own. But you only get one. Not both. Read verse 28 one more time. For we hold that one is justified by faith. That's the cross over there. Both feet on the cross of Jesus. Apart from works of the law. Christian, we need to be reminded of this every day. The call of the good news of Jesus Christ, the call of Jesus Himself to come to Him, is to come to Him with nothing or not at all. If you're here and you're not a Christian, the call to salvation, to trust Jesus, is to come to Jesus with nothing. Jesus, I want to give you this in exchange for my salvation. No, the call to Jesus and to trust Him is to come to Him with nothing, or don't come to Him at all. That's why Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 echo this truth. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. There's that word again. This is a truth that's echoed. Sometimes we think of this as a New Testament truth. Like in the Old Testament, they had to earn their salvation. But in the New Testament, we have Jesus. In the Old Testament, they were also called to trust in God and His work for their salvation. Jeremiah 9:23-24 says this, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he who understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. Front to back, Genesis to Revelation. The Bible calls God's people to place their full confidence in Him alone and not at all in ourselves. As a Christian, if you're here, just be reminded of that. Recognize the temptation not to do that in your own heart. if you're here today and you're not a Christian, understand while this may be hard to like accept because of your own pride, this is a wonderful, life-giving truth that says you don't need to do anything to earn your salvation. Not only is the fact that you cannot do anything, but you don't need to. God is not asking you to earn your salvation. He's just asking you to trust Him. And that is a glorious truth of the gospel. Jesus has done it all for you. It's a gift. So if you're not a Christian, that's the call to you, just to trust Jesus and all He's done in His perfect life, His death in your place on the cross, and His victorious resurrection over sin and death. Amen? Now, this is a big truth. We could continue to chew on this, but I want us to kind of shift into everyday life. There is two wonderful results of this truth, of the Christian placing their confidence in only Jesus and His work and not all in ourselves. The first one is this: when we place our confidence in Jesus and His work alone, we are freed from confidence by comparison. So, think about it this way. In everyday life, how are we often tempted to feel better about ourselves? We look at other people, don't we? And we say, well, I'm more this and more that than that person. And then we look at this person and we discover that we're less this or that than that person. Less healthy, less rich, less cool, whatever. And we are freed from confidence by comparison when our confidence is fully in Jesus. Now, it goes much deeper than that, but it does affect our everyday lives. Look at verse 29. One of the groups of people that Paul was speaking specifically to was the Jewish people. They took a lot of pride in their heritage as the people that God gave the law. They took a lot of pride in the fact that God chose them to bring the Messiah, Jesus, into the world. And some of them placed all their stock in their identity as Jewish people. And Paul is going, don't place your faith, your trust, your boasting is not in yourself or your identity, it's in Jesus alone. He says, or is God the God of the Jews only? Is He not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. The reason he said that is because the Jews would look at all the other nations and they would say, we're better than them. They would gain confidence because of their heritage compared to other people. And in Christ, when our confidence is fully in Him, we are freed from confidence by comparison. And on one level, this means that you can wake up in the morning, you can get yourself dressed and go to school and go to work or whatever, and you are freed just practically every day in your life. Your identity, your boasting, your pride is all wrapped up in Christ, not in yourself, not in the way you look, not in the car you drive, not in the clothes you wear. You are freed from the weight of comparing yourself to others just in everyday life. You're freed from that as a Christian. On another level, on a deeper and more important level, you're free from confidence by comparison when you gather with your church family. And you look around and you may be tempted to think, not as good as her, not as good as him. My family doesn't look like theirs. I don't even know if I should be here or not. You're freed from that. Don't get it wrong. Like, Satan will make us think that about one another. But you're freed from that. Because your confidence, your pride, your faith is not in your ability to do right. All of your confidence is wrapped up in Christ and what He's done. So you're freed from confidence by comparison, even among your church family. Even on a deeper level, you're able to drop to your knees or stand and sing and confidently and quickly draw near to the throne of grace. Not hindered by trying to build your own confidence in yourself and your strength and your ability. Because all of your confidence is in the one who's sitting on the throne and what he's done. So you're able to confidently draw near to him based on what he's done, not on what you've done. Satan wants us to reverse that. Satan wants us to go day to day and week to week trying to do good enough that we might be confident enough to drop to our knees or stand and sing to our Savior. We're free from that. We're covered by the righteousness of Christ if we've placed faith in him. And so we can come running to Jesus in our prayer life, in praise and worship. Running to Jesus. Let me ask you a question, Christian. Is that you? Are you slowed down by comparing yourself to others? Are you slowed down by going, am I good enough to even draw near to the Lord today? Just hear the echoes of this text. Your boasting is excluded in yourself. And all your confidence is in Christ. Period. That's good news. So when our confidence is in Jesus and his work alone, we are freed from confidence by comparison. Number two, when our confidence is in Jesus and his work alone, we are freed to rest. This may sound strange, but we're freed to rest. Some of the people that Paul was speaking to then placed all their confidence in their ability to do right and to earn their way into heaven with the hope that the day that they died and they stood before Jesus, they would have done enough. And if you think about a life lived that way, that is an exhausting life. Day in and day out, asking the question, have I done enough? If I die today, am I good enough? Have I done enough good to outweigh my bad? That is an exhausting life, and a miserable one if you ask me. That's how many people live in our world today. Extremely heavy burden of trying to be good enough, extremely heavy burden of not knowing when your life is going to end and hoping you've done enough by the time that day comes, an extremely heavy burden of trying in your own strength to not do bad things, to not have evil thoughts, and the extremely heavy burden of having to daily reset because at some point in the day before, you weren't good enough. This is what many religious leaders place on people. That kind of burden. A life of work. To maybe earn their way into heaven. It'd be like this if we were to take a couple of people to the edge of the Atlantic Ocean on the coast of Georgia and say, look, I don't know how long you have, but you have some set amount of time to swim across the Atlantic. And if you make it by that time, you're good. But if you run out of time or you drown from exhaustion or some other something that happens to you, then you're not good. That person might say, well, how long do I have? I don't know. Only God knows how long you have to make it across the Atlantic Ocean. Do I get a boat? No. Well, what about weather and jellyfish and waves and hurricanes and sharks? Yep. Cards are stacked against you. And we don't know how long you got, so you better get going. And here's the thing. Like, it wouldn't matter if all you knew how to do was doggy paddle or you were Michael Phelps and the best swimmer in the world. You wouldn't even make a dent in the distance you would need to go to make it across the Atlantic. And it would be exhausting. And either you would die from exhaustion or you would give up because of exhaustion. Either way, you fail. And this is what religion does to people. It places all the work on them. And what Christianity says and what Jesus says to us, what the Bible says to us, is that Jesus has done it all. You can rest, stop working, and rest in Him. Such good news to the tired religious person. The one that's been trying to make sure they're good enough before their day comes. That should be music to their ears. Maybe that's you. You need to stop working for your salvation and place faith alone in Jesus. He's done it all. He's done it all. In that relationship, you will grow to love Him and follow Him, and He will make you more and more like Himself. It's awesome. You should know Him. You should trust Him. If you haven't. Church, aren't you thankful that we have a God who in His Son has done it all for us? Aren't you thankful? Man, I hope some of you, maybe some of you have been running on fumes and you've just forgotten how good and glorious the good news of Jesus is, that He's done it all for you, and you're just tired. Maybe you just need to come run into the cross today and just say, Jesus, I'm sorry, I forgot that You've done it all. And just rest in Him. Maybe you just need to sing to Him and praise His name for doing it all. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. Like, you know about Him. You've been in and out of church your whole life, but for whatever reason, you spent your entire life thinking that Jesus did some of it on the cross, and you have to contribute to that to get into heaven. You still have to be good enough. And that couldn't be further from the truth, and we want to very clearly call you to Jesus alone today. Take your confidence out of yourself. Stop trying to have a reason to boast in your ability to save yourself and earn your salvation along with Jesus, and simply place faith in Jesus alone today. You can do that as we sing. Dustin's going to come lead us. We're going to sing in just a moment. We're going to sing a song that we sang a few minutes ago. And maybe that's you. Maybe you need to just stop trying, stop fighting, stop working for your salvation, and trust Jesus and His work alone today. We hope that you will. We hope and pray that you will. There's nothing better. As we sang, there's nothing better than Him. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We adore You. Lord, there is truly, truly nothing better than You. Jesus, You have done it all. There's nothing left for us to do. Our boasting, our pride in ourselves, our confidence in ourselves to be able to earn our salvation is completely excluded. There's nothing we can do, Lord, but You have done it all, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would just increase our joy in that truth today as Christians. And Lord, we pray as a church that if there's anyone that has not realized that at this point in their life or has not completely placed their faith and confidence in you today, God, we pray that they would. And we pray that they would today. Amen.
Let's stand together.
Oh, to Jesus.